Hello and welcome to Splinters. This is Gary Rogowski. Welcome to the new year. And welcome to season 5 of our podcast, starting right on the 1th of the month. It is with, self-consciousness about this chat that I bring to you today. This one is called Dead Weight. I feel some days that I am slower than others. The world makes a racket right outside my door, and I convince myself that I haven't heard a thing. It's just the wind. So let me make this point, and let me make it at myself and tell you this little story. It was just starting to be summer last. The heat dome was still a distant threat on the horizon. The weather devil hadn't yet concocted it for us. And I had loaded up my pickup truck with a big cargo load of wood scraps, a small work table, some oddment clamps and jigs, and a bending form or two, plus 3 or 4 short but wide sticks of very pretty maple that I couldn't bear to part with. I brought them along mostly, I think, so that I could stumble into them over the next few months in my new, very small shop space. But I had first packed up one of my favorite chunks of steel on this load. I cruised down the freeway. Everything was strapped in. Felt good about it. Felt like things were secure and the straps weren't flapping in the breeze. Hadn't lost a blanket or a tarp, and just cruising along. And I neared the end of my journey when, with a fair amount of surprise, I started to hear the wind whistling through the ropes and lumber, the straps and steel that I had secured in back. "My," I said to myself, "that wind sure has picked up since I left the freeway." I checked my speed, and I had slowed considerably from my highway habit. I then heard the wind ripple again, and I thought, "Boy, that wind sure whips through here in the gorge. It really picks up." And then I just kept staring at the road, staring at the cliffs to my left side, the railroad tracks to the right, the Columbia just beyond that. The wind rippled. I remained blissful. Well, when that wind rattled the piece of my truck cab once again and was not about to stop, I listened a little more carefully, and I recognized the telltale flap-doodle of a tire flattening itself into the road. It wasn't the wind I was hearing. I had a flat, and I was on a part of the highway with no shoulders to speak of, so I couldn't pull off. I slowed a bit, gripped my steering wheel tighter, as if that would help any. We all do that, right? Grip it tighter. That'll help. And I hoped that I could find a spot soon to pull off so I wouldn't ruin the rim with all the weight that I had in back. I had a big load in back. But to my left were the cliffs that leaned up and over the highway about 200 feet over the road. My neighbor once said, when you're driving through there, if the rocks start to fall, a neighbor once told me, just drive faster. There's nothing you can do. Anyway, the cliffs were on one side. On the right were the railroad tracks, way too darn close, and there are plenty of trains cruising up and down those tracks. So I was pretty much between a rock and a hard place to choose from, so I slowed down a little bit more. And finally, half a mile down the road or so, I spied a section of dirt and gravel off on the left side of the road that would give me plenty of distance from the highway and not put me in too much danger of a rock falling on my head. If one was coming down, I could at least hear it and get out of its way. Anyways, I stopped the truck and got out my bottle jack, and I've had the pleasure of making this jack's acquaintance once or twice over the years, so I knew what I was in for. I had to slow my pace and set to the job, and take the spare out from underneath the bed of the pickup truck, and that takes some time. And then I had to chock the opposite wheel and bust loose the nuts, and that took some time. And, you know, things are going along slowly, and got the jack under the spot to lift the truck up. And, you know, jacks are designed to pick up heavy loads and then not take up too much space in your vehicle. They're not designed to be easy to work. This bottle jack was a bit of an effort to screw the truck up, but it fell short. I couldn't get the tire off the gravel. It was still stuck there with the bottle jack completely extended. So I had to take it all the way back down, go into the back of the bed of the pickup truck, find us another stick of wood, stick it under the jack to start with, and then start it up again. So I had a taller starting point to begin with. And all the while, I'm wondering, how much dead weight do I have to lift here? So I kind of, you know, when I'm going to get that piece of wood, had a look-see at my lumber and the bench and the whatnot sticks of wood. But I also spied my beautiful piece of metal lashed to the truck like a beautiful carving on the bowsprit of a boat. Only it wasn't a carving. And I didn't have a boat. And it wasn't on the front. It was in the bed of my pickup. Other than that, it reminded me of a beautiful bowsprit carving. And I remembered how I had come to own this particular piece of metal. This bit of history I had found at a garage sale, wandering around my neighborhood one day, just on a walk. And I saw this garage sale guy was selling some tools, and some of the used tools looked promising. So I nosed around for a bit, went in back, looked through his garage a little, and came back out. I didn't really find anything that grabbed my sleeve or made me jump for joy. So I walked back down the driveway to head back on my walk. Now, for someone like myself, who already has a full set of chisels, let me rephrase that. For somebody like myself, who has four sets of chisels and some extra ones just in case one gets dropped on the floor, finding a garage sale with tools and big chunks of steel is like finding a sale on sweatshirts when you only have one sweatshirt for every day of the month of December. Eureka, I believe, is the appropriate term of discovery. There in front of me, I saw my beauty silently standing. It rose up, this glorious orb, this rising sun of green cast iron and gray steel. It had wheels, a large tray with three tall sides to it with drain holes in each rear corner, and a luminous dial. Well, to my eyes, it illuminated, and the dial spun all the way up to 150 pounds. The treasure stood there before me, quiet, like an expectant bride waiting for me in the mists of morning. A fish scale. Now, to the naked eye, it was probably 250 pounds of trouble, but to me, it was like finding a chunk of rare gold. I stopped in front of it to gasp quietly to myself, what a beauty. What a beauty. A Fairbanks Moore springless, with its 1 pound gradations almost making it 350 degrees around the circle of its 2 foot round dial. The pointer on the scale was another thing of beauty, with a long shaft on it to point at the weight, with a crescent moon on the back end to balance it out. I stood in front of it, transfixed. I was lost. Lost. I'd fallen. And some woman at the garage sale walked close by me and muttered, "Your wife will kill you if you bring that home." And I roused myself from my reverie to smile at her cheek and pronounce with joyful finality, "I'm not married." Then it was settled. I had no one but myself to blame if this bit of sculpture did not end up in my shop. It wouldn't fit in my house, I knew that, but I had a huge shop at the time. Why not fill it with cool stuff such as this? I asked the owner how much he wanted for it. We dickered a little, struck a deal. I'm certain that I paid too much for it, but I didn't care. I didn't care for anything but walking or skipping home to procure my truck to load the Fairbanks Morse on board for the trip to the shop. I found a spot for it right in front of my eyes whenever I looked up from my bench. It was truly a beauty. And to a few select eyes, I uncovered this jewel's innards to reveal 2 or 3 dozen levers inside it that made weight palpable on its dial. Amazing to see those levers working. And over the years, it weighed a suitcase or two filled with tools that I was taking to the airport, but mostly it stood as an emblem of good luck and great fortune. Few people noticed it, although it stood 5.5 feet tall, hidden in plain sight, right in front of my bench, and that's how I like to keep my secrets. It sat there now, my bowsprit, lashed to my ship as I careened down the road, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. It weighed a lot, but I was happy to lift it up and change that tire. Beauty has to travel sometimes to get to the right place, and if there's effort in it to get it there, well, it just makes for a better story. I did indeed change that tire and drove the next 5 miles to my cabin and unloaded that piece of steel by myself. That took a little bit of doing, but there are ways. There are ways. You use gravity to your advantage. And it made it inside my place. And there it sits now to this day, a reminder of the uselessness and importance of beauty in my life, and I hope in yours too. Well, it's time for the shameless promotion part of our program. as I remind you all that you have the opportunity to make a beautiful project with me starting next week, January 8th, in one of our build-along sessions. We will make a jewelry box I call the Jasmine Jewelry Box. My current version of this box, I've made several over the years, is done in courtesan ash with a rosewood handle and an ebonized base that makes it float off the surface of a table. Inside is a, I think, quite beautiful rice paper laminated to the bottom. Anyway, it's a lovely piece, and it's called Jasmine because I use a jasmine-scented shellac when I finish this piece. Check out our website, please, for information on this class, northwestwoodworking.com, and there's still time to join us. We will meet for 2 hours, alternating Saturdays and 1 hour Q&As in the intervening Saturdays. Anyway, it's a total of 8 weeks. Lovely piece. Great fun. I hope you'll join me. And if there's dead weight in your life, but it's beautiful, then perhaps it's not really dead. It's not weight. It's just luck. It's just luck. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to Splinters. Another year begins. We're still in the thick of this stuff. So do your best. Time is an oxymoron. It's fast as can be. Another year has zipped by us, and every day seems to be the same, slow and in a pandemic. So do your best. Get to the bench. Do some work. It'll do you some good. Take care. Thank you very much for listening. Adios.